clean up your whole backyard. You clean the old business out.
Clean it up, mister. Clean it up,
mister. You know, we completely blew past our 9 o'clock drawing.
Uh-oh. We did or I did?
We did. I didn't.
We're a team.
We sailed by.
Even when I do something wrong, we're all in it together, right?
So at the end of this hour, the end of the 10 o'clock hour, here in about 25 minutes, we will have another trivia question, the answer to which you would have heard in this 10 o'clock hour. And if you call in 1-888-767-4348.
Not now.
1-888-ROSIE for you.
Wait for the Jeopardy
just,
cue.
Just get that number ready. And you know the answer. The first two correct answers will get a 4-pack of tickets to the Phoenix Waste Management Golf Tournament.
Open.
Next week or the week after.
And a couple 2016 Arizona Highways calendars that Wynn brought to us this morning. In the 7 o'clock hour, we had a lot of fun talking to the editor and publisher of Arizona Highways about the secret and great places of Arizona, as well as the publication Arizona Highways.
So, sorry, we completely missed the 9 o'clock hour. This isn't a text. This one we're doing on phone. Just a couple people called and said, well, I can't text. So we'll do it. The phone's going out. 1-888-767-4348. When you hear the Jeopardy question, if you know the answer and you're one of the first two people to get it right, you're going to the Phoenix Open.
Two packets, each containing 4 1-day passes to the Waste Management Open, graciously provided to us to give away by our flagship affiliate, KTAR. We're talking decluttering.
We are. You know, we're kind of making fun and making light of it, but it actually is kind of a serious issue for a lot of people. And I just had a phone call about, you know, being sure that we're sensitive because there are people who suffer from hoarding and then they end up in an awful, embarrassing situation and they need help getting out of it. So I'm actually going to do a little research to find out some resources available, and I'll put that on Facebook sometime this week.
Match?
No.
Get a steel 55-gallon drum, put it out back like Grandpa used to do.
Yeah,
I think by today's definition of hoarding, my Grandpa Raymond was borderline hoarder. But the thing about Raymond is you could say, Grandpa Raymond, I need a 9/16 flat washer with a 1/4-inch hole in the middle. And he'd go back into his little cave back there, and you'd hear a couple drawers open and a couple things move around. He'd walk out with exactly, no matter what it is you asked him for, I don't know how he had it all inventoried up in his head where it all was. It was absolutely the most incredible thing to watch I've ever seen. So, unfortunately, I don't have that ability. But we did reach out to some friends of ours, Bob and Paula Trotter, who own California Closets down in Tucson. Because if there's anyone that has a propensity for seeing, I mean, I've seen some master bedroom closets that were just unbelievably nice. And I've seen some that were just unbelievably gross. I mean, really out of hand gross. And you know, we saw this in our own family growing up. In our home, Romy and his brother shared rooms. They each had a bed on separate sides of the room. They each had their own closet. And you could draw a line down the middle of that room, and you knew which side was Romy's and which side was his brother's. Romy's bed was always made up with military tuck at the seams. Pella was perfectly fluffed up. You open his chest of drawers, and everything was sorted by color, folded, and set in place. You opened his closet, and all of his clothes were hung in color-coordinated style.
He was born that way.
He was. He just had it. And then there's Dear T-Boy. Did T-Boy's bed ever get made up once by T-Boy?
I think I did them once a week, just so I could see it.
Golly, it was absolutely incredible. So we know what it's like to be dealing with, you know, we have a couple daughters that kind of wrestled with sorting piles of laundry on their bedroom floor. That was their chest of drawers was this big pile that they kind of sorted every once in a while. And that's how they knew what was clean and what wasn't. And there wasn't any reason to put it away because I'm just going to be wearing it tomorrow. So we want to thank Paul and Bob Trotter of California Closets in Tucson that helped us with this. You know, one of the things they were saying is you've just got to get in the house. One of the things they've noticed is that with this Great Recession, people are staying in their house a little bit longer than they anticipated. Jennifer and I have been in our house 30 years.
It's definitely harder to sort when you're in the middle of it.
Oh,
it's much easier to move.
Holy cow. Moving. When I start looking at all the things we're going to be packing to move, it gives me a whole new motivation, a whole new perspective to look at all that stuff. And you start looking through the garage. We're going to have a show later just on your garage. Right now we're talking about taking you through each of the rooms of the house. We've started in the master closet. We're encouraging you not to keep your valuables in that particular location. Paula Trotter's saying those closets are getting more and more cluttered because we're not moving as often as we used to, where we that would actually force us. It would have the motivation. Do I want to go through the trouble of actually moving this, or do I just want to put it into that donation box that's growing by size by day out by the front door? So that is one of the things that isn't happening so much anymore.
And one thing that Amanda does is there's a consignment store in town.
That's Romy's wife, sweet Amanda.
And we get hand-me-downs. You guys get hand-me-downs? We lived in hand-me-downs.
You did.
And your kids grow so fast. I mean, a lot of times it looks like, you know, they're brand new. You can't even tell they've been hand-me-down. Not every hand-me-down
is created
is something
equal.
We would wear or put our children in.
Like an Alabama shirt or something?
Yeah, right. Yeah, or something like that.
But that's a great place to go. I mean, Goodwill's great. We go there a lot, too, because sometimes the consignment won't take it. But the consignment stores are, I mean, where did we get this? Oh, I traded in on consignment from this. I mean,
Jennifer and I were very lucky.
I have not got it down packed, and I've never even been to the consignment store. But, man, I tell you, the amount of turnover of taking stuff that would never get used or worn or
swapping
otherwise
it for
dust
something the
collecting.
Kids like.
Yeah.
Well, we were very fortunate because Jennifer and I had friends when we got married, and all our friends were about 4 to 5 years older than us. So all their kids were about 4 or 5 years older than all of y'all. It created a very nice supply chain of hand-me-downs.
It just does help to break that emotional attachment to things if you know that you're going to bless somebody with your things, like St. Vincent de Paul, our new partner. You know, if you know that you're going to give some things, it's going to help somebody that in so many ways they use that. You know, they have stores, and then they also help clothe people for job interviews and homes. And, you know, so it's nice. You feel like you're doing a good thing by giving something away.
Absolutely. One of the things we like to tell people to do is as you're putting these things, you know, we have to decide whether we're going to repurpose it or whether we're going to continue storing it or if we're going to start using it again. One of the things I tell people to do is don't get a bunch of cardboard. You know, what is that brand of box that you buy folded flat at all the office supply stores? You buy them in bunches and then you fold them out. Banker boxes. You know, don't store anything of any value in cardboard boxes, okay? The Arizona weather hates a cardboard box. Termites love a cardboard box. If you're going to find something that's worth storing and keeping, go ahead and put it into some kind of a plastic airtight container so you can keep it well. As a matter of fact, one of the things we've started doing is seasonally, Jennifer has these vacuum bags that when we're done with our summer clothes, we take them out of the closet, put them in this big bag. She attaches the vacuum to it, sucks all the air out of it. They fall flat, and then they just slide in underneath the bed. Then they come April, May, we bring them out, and then we stuff our winter clothes in there that we're not going to wear for 4 or 5 months.
That's one of those as-seen-on-TV products. You wonder if they work. They work.
We keep a lot of our blankets in there for when guests come over or friends are staying the night. Just because of how condensed it does.
Yeah, it does. It really shrinks it in.
You don't have to worry about moth bites in it or insects. So those are great.
Yeah. So we're talking about that as a way to kind of declutter your master bedroom closet. The other place that we generally take people to second is if they have a freestanding pantry. Now, master bedroom closets can be horribly disorganized and piled up messes. There are walk-in pantries I've walked into that are biohazard environments. They're not even safe to go in. And one of the things I encourage people when building out your pantry, redoing your pantry, I always discourage people from using wood shelves in their pantry, because some grandchild could get up on the little stool up to the third level and be reaching for that bag of Oreos or chocolate chip cookies, spill the box of Cheerios, and no one ever knows those Cheerios are spilled until the painter comes every 14 years to paint that pantry. I am a big believer in pantries to use the good, heavy-duty wire shelving. That way, if something does spill and I put my first shelf just 6 inches above the ground, and the reason I do that is to keep Jennifer from putting any of her pots and pans on the floor in that room. I like my pantry to be where I can go in with a dust mop and a water mop and reach every single corner of the floor area. So the first shelf, which is generally 24 inches deep, goes in just high enough above the floor that nothing can slip underneath that shelf like a can of peas, but your dust mop, your vacuum attachment, your water mop can reach back there. Then I stack my next shelf, another 24 inches deep, another one 24 inches deep, and then I usually finish off in an 8-foot pantry, three more shelves of 12 or 16 inches because I can't reach back behind a 24-inch deep cabinet that is 6 feet off the ground. Once you have all of this set, the canned goods in one area, the bread and baked goods in another area, the flour and the bulk goods in another area, you can buy all kinds of containers and storage to help you keep all of this organized. The cereal boxes go here, the refreshments go here, the flour and the sugar and the bulk foods go there. It is such an easy way to keep a clean pantry. It's the first, when I'm called in for a remodeling project, if we're doing a kitchen, it's one of the first things I recommend. Please, let me give you a first-rate walk-in pantry that isn't going to accumulate. Sometimes I'll even hand them a little step stool, and I say, I just saw something on the top shelf of that pantry in the back that's been there a while. Why don't you see if you can identify it? So the wire racking actually eliminates that problem, and you don't have to worry with all of that stuff just hanging in back there. It all falls straight to the floor. You know exactly when something is spilled. That means you know when to clean it up and how to attack it. So
should have been invented 50 years ago.
Walk-in pantries or any pantries of any size, stacking and storing food products should be wire shelved. We're talking about decluttering and organizing your house room by room. We'll wrap up as well as run our Jeopardy game to give two lucky callers a 4-pack ticket to the Waste Management Open. There, 1 day passes, good for any of the 3 days. Again, thank you to KTAR for providing them for us.